Can I turn on your radio?
Yes, already.
It's almost showtime.
Who's your favorite talk radio personality?
That's Todd.
He's weird.
Monday through Friday.
He's strange.
5 to 7.
Sloppy.
I mean, he sounds perfect.
He's dreamy.
What do you say? Let's get it going.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now. 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Jackpot.
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 Jackpot, baby.
It is The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Got the live stream up and running. You can watch on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. A lot of people watch on their phone. Some people watch on their laptops or their computers, but many people, they got smart TVs. They just throw it up there, watch it on the big screen. And my head looks even bigger on a big screen. Tonight on the show, we got tickets to the Stray Cats. Just be listening for the Stray Cats. When you hear, be the fifth caller. And we'll hook you up with those tickets. They're going to be at the Rose August 2nd. Or I'm sorry, August 12th. And we've got, we've got a list. It's one of those Wallet Hub lists where they come up with a topic, and it's about the top cities in the United States for a specific topic, right? This one is the hardest working cities in America. And a number of Ohio cities are on the list. We're going to talk about that. But the first thing I wanted to bring up, and we just had the report, sadly, a fatal accident. A motorcyclist hit, I guess, the side of a semi-truck on Needmore. From the report that Ron gave us, a semi was reportedly turning into a business, and the motorcyclist hit the side of the semi. There was a motorcycle incident last night. There was a motorcycle incident, I believe, yesterday, earlier. Might have been Sunday. I can't remember. But there's also been a ton of car accidents. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed this. In the last week, we have had an abundance of car accidents. There was one in Kettering last night that two people, I guess, were critically injured. Somebody was trapped in the car. If I recall the story, I mean, there's just been a lot of accidents over the last week or so. And I'm curious, why? Is it because of the weather? Is it because it's nice and it's very, very, I wouldn't even call it spring-like. It's been summer-like. We're sitting in the low 80s right now and it's 5 o'clock. This feels like the summer. I'm just curious if anybody else has sort of thought about this. I mean, yesterday we had an incident on 75 with a semi-truck taking a turn too fast, the exit from 75 to 70. And the semi, I guess, just about tipped over. I don't know that it completely tipped over. I saw the video yesterday. It looked like it was upright, but boy, oh boy, it was like up against the wall, the outside wall. And there were cracks in the wall on the outside. So I wonder what the story is there, if they're going to have to redo that whole section. But there's just been a ton of accidents. We had a confirmation this morning, because it came up on the show last night, that there was a car crashed into a building. No, a car on Germantown Street, I guess yesterday morning, hit the front porch of the house. There's no video of it, but we reported it. That's 42, by the way, if you're keeping track. And our tally, of course, brought to you by the good folks at Tires Unlimited. You can find the complete list on my Facebook page. But it just seems like there's been a lot of accidents in the last week or so. So I'm trying to stress and urge everybody to slow down and chill for a bit. I really don't know if it's the weather. I don't know if it was the big letdown after the eclipse. You know, Everybody's real excited. Talk about it. Woo, the clips. And then it's over. Back to our lives. So I don't know what the story is. I'm going to guess it's the weather. And people are out. And they are mesmerized by how beautiful it's been. And they're just not paying attention. This brings me to a topic I wanted to bring up. And every once in a while, it comes up on the show. Came up a couple of years ago when they instituted a seatbelt law here in Ohio. They made seatbelts required. And if you don't have your seatbelt on, the way the law is now, that if you get stopped for speeding or some other traffic violation, you ran a stop sign, tailgating, whatever it might be. Maybe you're on your cell phone. You could get a fine for not having your seatbelt on. Well, I guess, he may have brought this up during his State of the State speech a week or so ago. Governor DeWine is now pushing for a stricter seatbelt law that would give the police the power to pull over people who they observe not having their seatbelts on. So if you're sitting at a light and you're minding your own business, you're not breaking any laws, you're just chilling, waiting for the light, and they notice that you don't have a seatbelt on, which I guess is just the strap over your shoulder. He wants to make it so cops can just stop you for that and give you a fine. To make his case, he cited some statistics from the Ohio Department of Public Safety that showed seatbelt use in Ohio in 2022 hit its lowest level in nearly two decades. Now, that's interesting. He says Ohio is 10th from the bottom of all states in seatbelt use. The national average for seatbelt use is 91%. Ohio's number is only 81%. So we have people who are, I guess, choosing to not wear their seatbelt. I would imagine sometimes you might forget, but you're making a choice not to wear it. According to the Department of Public Safety, 527 people were killed in crashes in Ohio in 2022 who were not wearing a seatbelt. So there's the question. I mean, would you support a law that says you have to have your seatbelt fastened? And if you don't, they can stop you. Doesn't matter what other traffic violation you may have committed. It doesn't matter. If they see you and you don't have your seatbelt on, they're going to stop you and fine you. Right now, the fine is $30 for the driver, $20 for the passenger. I would imagine that if it becomes a law, I mean, if I don't know what sort of support the governor has. I don't know if anybody else in the state house is in line with this. I mean, I always have my seatbelt on. I always do. Whether I'm the passenger or the driver, and I've always driven that way. I've never driven without my seatbelt on. I knew people when I was growing up who were killed in car accidents because they didn't have seatbelts. Or they didn't have them fastened. I remember I lost a friend that way when I was very young. So, I learned my lesson that way. So I'd just be curious if people would be okay with that. Or are you so adamant that you don't want to fasten your seatbelt that you would go out and spend money on dark tinted windows, which now I guess you're allowed to have. At one time you couldn't. Like they really cracked down. At one point, I mean, I remember I had a car that had tinted windows that were technically too dark, and I got stopped a couple of times because of it. But from what I understand, that's not really the case anymore. I don't think that we have that law or that rule. about tinted windows. So maybe you'll go out and spend a couple $100, get really dark tinted windows so that way nobody can see in your car. Some people would go to that extreme, I think. Ron in Springfield. Hey, Ron.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, not too bad. Sitting in Firehouse Subs parking lot waiting to get a sub, man.
What kind of subs you get?
I want to get the engineer because I'm an engineer.
my favorite, I'm thinking of someplace else. Never mind. Anyway, go ahead. What's up, man?
Hey, so I want to chime in on the reason we're having all these accidents. People can't stay off their phone. And I mean, like, distractive. Literally, I'm driving home from work listening to you on the radio. And coming down 70, I'm always in the slow lane. You got guys coming by me 10 miles an hour faster,
yeah.
And they're looking down at their knee.
Right.
in the left lane.
Yeah.
And they're texting. And it's not just young people. I know young people are really bad about it, but it's people our age too.
Oh, I see it all the time. I see it all the time, and it's not just the kids. I think the kids sometimes get a bad rap. I think the kids are – I think many adults are more addicted to it than the kids are.
And I'm a Harley-Davidson rider, and I love, you know, getting my wind therapy. Mm-hmm. But I'm come to the point where I think I'm just going to sell my Harley and go buy a boat so
wow.
I don't have to worry about getting hit, you know, because it's as if the odds weren't against you before.
Yeah.
It's probably 20-fold.
You know, I would love to know the statistics on that very specific thing. And then in the time of cell phones and people being distracted like that, has the number of motorcycle involved accidents increased astronomically, or has it stayed sort of level with automobile accident? You know what I mean? Like I'd love to know exactly if motorcycle riders are, you know, experiencing more accidents because of that. I think that'd be an interesting study.
I really think so. And mm-hmm. I would almost bet my paycheck that data is already out there.
Well, it could be, Ron. I'll take a look for it. I appreciate your call, buddy. Have a good one and enjoy your sub.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
At best, you're an underachiever at a local radio station.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. So Governor DeWine says that he supports making it a hard, fast law that says if you don't have your seatbelt on, that the police could pull you over and fine you for it, give you a ticket and fine you for it. Now you have to, you know, be committing some other traffic offense in order to get in trouble. But now they could just spy on you and say, hey, that guy's not wearing a seatbelt. We're going to get him. Carl in Centerville. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, got a couple points on the seatbelt thing. First
yeah.
off, you quoted a fine number of 35. I believe that's a typo.
Well, what I
have...
The number
is actually 85.
Okay, well, I'll check. I mean, this was a story. I think I got this from a Columbus station, so I'll check. It says the fine is $30 for the driver and $20 for a passenger.
Okay, because I've been through that twice.
Ah.
Number one, my main bone of contention is the state really should have a right to dictate whether you wear a belt or not. I mean, that's a personal preference. The reason I say that is I've actually had my motorcycle endorsement longer than I've had a driver's license, and I can ride my motorcycle without a helmet.
Right, right. I got that.
So
yeah.
Explain to me why I need to protect myself when I'm already in a box.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, somebody mentioned on the live stream that this probably comes from the insurance agency, you know, folks, because they don't want to pay, you know, the exorbitant hospital expenses that could be involved with you know, an accident like that. I appreciate your call. Carl, I got to fly here. We got the news. But if you got a comment on that, hit us up.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. Oh.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
Could this day get any more fantastic?
Let's get on with it.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Live stream is up on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And it's absolutely free, and you can watch. Speaking of watching something that's absolutely free and kind of amusing, I posted a video earlier today on my Instagram and Facebook page. This morning, my wife and I, she had picked me up to come to work because I'm still without a car. But we had a face-off, if you will, an encounter with a groundhog who would not get out of the way. It was like one of those protests, those traffic protests that you're seeing in the news over Gaza and Palestine. It was this groundhog was standing firm, not moving, and kind of giving me the eye. And it's very amusing. Ron, you down there?
Ron!
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Have you heard of Texas Ranger pitcher Brock Burke?
Yes.
Yes. You know who he is.
Right. Well, I'm a baseball fan. I watch quite a bit of
baseball.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that today is he is our candidate for Idiot of the Week. This is
stupid
this
idiot.
Is stellar.
Parents are probably idiots too.
Idiot!
Wake up, idiot!
Silly dilly dilly.
So
I'm
this
an
guy.
Idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know what he makes. He's a relief pitcher. I'm guessing he's making seven figures, right? I don't know if he's top of the list or...
I would have to guess still in the six figures for him.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, he is our candidate for Idiot of the Week because after he allowed three hits and four runs in the seventh inning of his team's 12-8 win over the Astros, mm-hmm. I guess over the weekend or maybe this was last night, he got angry. He got very, very angry with his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess going into the locker room, as pitchers who are taken out of a game often do, he decided to punch a wall.
Mm.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. punched a wall. This professional athlete, he punched a wall. Now, and he broke his hand. He broke his hand. But it's his non-throwing hand.
Well, there you go.
Right. So I guess only half an idiot of the week.
That goes back to the Bull Durham thing. If you remember the movie Bull Durham?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Tim Robbins punches Kevin Costner and he's like, what hand did you use? He's like, my left hand. He's like, good. Don't ever punch a drunk with your pitching hand.
Yeah. Or a wall.
Or a wall in this case. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. His manager, Bruce Bochy, says that Burke was frustrated and added that, quote, you love the fact that he was upset with not helping the club last night, but it just wasn't a smart move. you don't say. It wasn't a smart move. Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Sorry for coming. Yeah, the Cleveland had a pitcher about 10 years ago that did that, had a bad outing and came back in the locker room and punched a door, and he did it with his pitching hand. And I can't remember who that guy was. He was a relief pitcher as well. And Cleveland put him on what was at the time called the disabled list.
Yeah.
And then they just released him outright. They were just like, you know what? We're not even going to deal with this. Just move on.
What happened to the days of Rob Dibble? Remember Rob Dibble, Reds pitcher, who got yanked from a game and in anger threw the ball into the center field seats from the pitcher's mound and hit some woman? Remember that?
Oh, gosh, yes. I do remember that now, yeah.
Or what about the days of a player upset going into the dugout, pulling a bat from the rack, and beating the hell out of a Gatorade dispenser?
That's happened a lot, too. There's a lot of light fixtures across Major League Baseball that got destroyed.
There's a lot of things that you can beat up without, you know, punching a wall and breaking your hand.
I know.
Makes no sense at all. Makes no sense at all.
It's, you never hurt yourself in frustration, that's for sure.
Right, especially, job related, right? I mean, and I was thinking, it's like if I got mad at my doing something in my job, right? Like if I have a crappy show, which, happens frequently, what could I do to take myself out of the rotation? Because even if I punch a wall and break a hand, I'm still coming in to do the show.
That's
true. Like, I can't say, well, I can't talk today on the show because I broke my hand into a million pieces.
Right. Yeah.
What could I do? So the next time I have a show like that and I'm just angry, frustrated, what could I do that would allow me to go on the disabled list?
You could scream so loud it hurts the vocal cords.
That's
one thing maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you could. That's a tough one.
I don't know what I don't know. I don't know that there's anything I could do. I mean, that's pretty good. Screaming at the top of my lungs.
Yeah. I mean, violently bite the microphone. I mean, that you could do
I
that.
Do that.
I've never heard of anybody doing that. But
I could lose a few teeth.
Yeah,
and I could talk like this. I can't talk today because I've lost my teeth. That kind of thing.
They'd probably still make you do your show, though.
Yeah.
You imagine the people in the stream. They'd be like, Todd, put your teeth in, dude.
Put your teeth back in. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. 937-457-1290. We got Robert and Dayton. What's going on, Robert?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. I just kind of wanted to piggyback on the last caller. But first I want to say Governor DeWine should have bigger problems in the state rather than, you know, passing a law that it's not a moving violation.
Right.
It's just an excuse to pull someone over.
Well, I think he wants to make it a moving violation. It's not now, but I think he wants to make it a moving violation.
But then my other point was there's no helmet law for motorcycles, and you know, I don't want to make any of the riding crowd, you know, mad or anything, but I see people riding around all the time with flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
shorts.
See that, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do they not know? I mean, to me, that should be no worse than the seatbelt violation.
Right.
I mean, it should be worse.
You know, they say, and I don't know that it's a law, but one of the most dangerous things you can do when you're driving a car is drive in flip-flops, because lots of times your flip-flop will get flopped and flipped, and then it gets stuck, and, you know, it's a problem. It's happened to me. It's happened to other people. I see that all the time. But on a motorcycle, even more.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not want to be riding around on flip-flops, especially shorts. But flip-flops, that's a non-starter for me, for sure. But
my whole point is I think we have bigger fish to fry in the state of Ohio than randomly pulling somebody over for not having their own seatbelt on. I mean, that should be a personal choice. Who are they hurting but themselves?
I got you, Robert. I got you. I appreciate your call, buddy. Michelle in Dayton. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Michelle?
I am doing awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay.
The seatbelt thing. I wear my seatbelt, you know, religiously. I put it on.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a short 5'0" person here.
Right.
And I put the seatbelt underneath my driving arm, my left arm.
Right, right.
Would that make a difference, you think? I mean, it's on. It's just not over my shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know that it would make a difference. I guess it's whatever is comfortable for you or you're able to drive safely with. You know, I guess
right.
If they see the seatbelt coming out of the extender there, they probably won't stop you. But I don't know.
I'm just sort of curious about that because I don't put it over my shoulder. It'll rub my neck.
Right.
So I just put it over underneath my arm.
Because you're so incredibly short, do you sit on phone books?
I sit on pillows.
You sit on pillows when you drive. That's not a bad idea.
Yes, I do. I've got two foam pillows that I sit on,
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate your call. That's nice. A nice image in my head. Chris in Pickway. Chris.
You hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to tell you that I drive older vehicles that were never released with shoulder belts, and I have been pulled over.
So cars like that, are they grandfathered in, or do they try to make you put something in there?
They are grandfathered in, but the younger police force that we have now does not recognize that.
Well, if it's on the books, I mean, I would imagine that if you got a ticket, you could probably fight it then.
Well, you could. And usually when I get pulled over in one and I tell them, I'm like, look up in here.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And they'll stick their head in and they're like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of my vehicles is a 1917 Oldsmobile. It has no seatbelts.
Wow. You know what you ought to do is get some sort of seat cover with that, with Velcro, and wear a Velcro shirt and just push yourself back really, really hard. So if you have to slam on the brakes, maybe the Velcro will save your life.
Yeah. Well, my father-in-law used to have a shirt that looked like he had a seatbelt on.
That is somebody who's really, really adamant about not wearing a seatbelt.
Well, he was a truck driver.
He
hated seatbelts.
Yeah.
He drove trucks for 42 years.
Wow, that's awesome. All right.
He hated seatbelts.
I got you. All right, Chris, I appreciate your call, buddy. That line's open. 937-457-1290. Coming up, I've got this hardest working cities in America. And there is one city in Ohio that's not on it.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
From a psychological standpoint, the radio station represents a link to normalcy.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, contemplating what I can do to injure myself at work so I don't have to come in and be taken out of the rotation. Like Texas Rangers relief pitcher Brock Brook. He punched a wall after a frustrating performance, broke his hand, so now he's out. Somebody suggested that I track down that gopher or groundhog or whatever it was that I had my encounter with this morning and try to wrestle it, and maybe I could get rabies. I bet if I had rabies, they wouldn't let me come into work. Maybe. Jody in Pickway. Jody.
Hi, Todd.
Hey.
So I have a kind of a very moving, touching, sad story. In October of 2002, my 38-year-old husband was on 70 near the outlets in Springfield when somebody hit him, and he died 8 days later.
Oh.
He did not have a seatbelt on. He was hit from behind, and the guy that hit him was on trial and served. Was in jail for 3 months, and it was a $750 fine. And I just would love your listeners to, if I could stir one person to wear their seatbelt, please do it.
Jody, that's I'm sorry for your loss. That's a terrible, terrible thing.
Thank you.
You know, I was talking to some of the people on the live stream, and I understand, you know, people feeling this is their right and their choice. And I get that. And I've talked about this before in regards to people who jaywalk, because that is one of my biggest pet peeves, and I see people do it all the time. And even though they're taking their life in their own hands and they're making that choice, and it's the same with people who ride without motorcycle helmets or wear flip-flops on motorcycles or drive without seatbelts, you know, God forbid you're in some sort of accident, and whether it's your fault or not, the person that hit you and, you know, kills you, perhaps, is going to have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And I just feel like if you're going to be out there, you know, roaming around, you need to try to protect yourself the best you can, not just for yourself, but for other people.
I'm pretty sure that if my husband could come back and say, I'm really sorry, I didn't have my seatbelt on, that he would. He never really wore a seatbelt, so I'm sure that would have changed had he had the opportunity to make that decision.
And I bet you do now.
Yes, all the time.
All the time. Yes. Well, Jody, I appreciate your call. And again, I'm sorry for your loss. That's a horrible way to lose someone.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. There you go, folks. Take it from Jody. I mean, that's a tough call for sure.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
I believe it's about that time.
Turn the radio on, Wayne.
This is my friend, Todd.
He makes me laugh.
From Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, super!
What a crackpot.
Would you please just listen?
We have fun.
And it's free.
Oh, boy, this is great.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
I love to go to Dayton, Ohio. It is a wonderful city in Ohio. It's an all wonderful municipality. Oh yeah, it's called Dayton, Ohio. It's got a really good town area, nice big old buildings, lots of good people. Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
I love to go to Dayton, Ohio. Some people call it the Gem City.
Woo-hoo!
All the people just call it Dayton, because that is its
name.
Woo-hoo! Oh yeah.
It is The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You not only can listen to the show on the radio, you can watch it on TV if you got a smart TV. It's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on Twitch. Watch it on your phone, watch it on your laptop. You can watch it in the bathroom on your phone if you want. Take me to the bathroom. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. It's a wonderful collaboration. 937-457-1290. All right, here's this list. And I've got some people that want to talk about the seatbelt law. We're going to get that, get to them in 1 second, I promise. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. The folks at Wallet Hub, they always put out these lists. And it's a way for them to pit city against city. They are divisive in their ways. But Wallet Hub, they've come up with a list, hardest working cities in America. And this was conducted, the researchers conducted their study in 2024, just months ago. And they looked at two main dimensions, direct work factors and indirect work factors. Now, what does that mean? Direct work factors, which accounted for 80% of the total score, included metrics such as average work week hours, employment rate, and the share of households where no adults work. Indirect work factors made up the remaining 20% of the score, and they considered aspects like average commute time, the share of workers with multiple jobs, and annual volunteer hours per resident. Okay, so that's what they did. These are sociologists, and they did the study, and here's what they came up with. And you're going to laugh at this first part, I promise. According to their research, the number one hardest working city in America, Washington, D.C., No, it's not. No, it's not. But that's what their list says. Number two, Irving, Texas. Number three, Cheyenne, Wyoming. Number four, Virginia Beach. And number five, Anchorage, Alaska. Does that sound right? I don't know. I guess you could argue in all of those instances why people are working harder. A lot of those areas, maybe like Cheyenne or Irving, I don't know. Are they farmers out there? Are they cowboys, cowgirls, cowgirls? You know, they work long hours, round the clock sometimes. Virginia Beach, I don't know, maybe. A lot of surf shops, hospitality, Anchorage, sure, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure why they rank at the top, but they do. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting. They list 116 cities. The number 16 on the list is Burlington, Vermont. Okay? To find one of Ohio's or the top Ohio's, or let me rephrase this. The top city in Ohio for being the hardest working, according to this list, you have to go not the first page, not the second page, not the third page, not the fourth page. You have to go to the fifth page, number 68. That's Columbus. They say Columbus is the 68th hardest working city in America. Then we jump down to number 89. Cincinnati is on the list as the 89th hardest working city in America. We go to the next page. No, not on there. No Ohio City. Now we drop down to 109. The 109th hardest working city in America, Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio. Then we bounce down to 112. The 112th hardest working city in America, Toledo. Toledo, Ohio. Guess who's not on the list as one of the hardest working cities in America? Dayton, Ohio. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, I went back and I looked at these metrics, what they were talking about, and they say that they took into account, as I mentioned, households where no adults work. I wonder if it's because we have a lot of retired people. I bet Dayton, Ohio has more retired people than a lot of other cities our size. I think a lot of people come here, they probably work at the base, and then they retire and then they stay here. I mean, there's tens and thousands of people that work at the base. And I bet that that could be part of it. I wonder if it's because we have a large retirement community. But that's crazy that Ohio, we don't even rate. That's nuts to me. That is nuts to me. So if you got thoughts on that, 937-457-1290. Andy, Ludlow Falls. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, how are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. What's shaking up in Ludlow Falls?
Oh, let's talk about the light or the seatbelt thing first.
Sure.
Remember when they first passed this seatbelt law, you know, however many years ago it was, that we were told that, you know, this is going to help reduce our insurance bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a follow the money thing. You can figure out what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, sure.
As for you getting injured at work, I got two ideas for you.
Yes.
One is just tripping on a threshold or some steps or something like that, but that could actually cause injury and stuff like that.
Want to hurt myself.
No, I'm thinking a really nasty paper cut that might take some, it might have some psychological damage to you. And you may have to just, you know, chill for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. It could emotionally scar me and maybe it could get infected.
The infection is the dangerous part there. Just don't get the gangrenous.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's not bad. That's not bad. I like idea better than trying to wrestle the groundhog and getting rabies.
Yeah, that's more pain because you got shots and they're in your belly and all that. So
Right. And then I'd have to admit that I got my butt beat by a groundhog.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I appreciate your call, Andy. Have a good one. Let's see. Warren in Centerville. Hey, Warren.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, Shirley. And it's great timing, too, breaking up the serious talk shows and that kind of thing with for a couple hours. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate
just,
that.
Just an idea. What's kind of sad to hear is the business has gone out of business due to thievery and people stealing stuff and just walking right out the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is a that's a problem that's happening all over the country for sure.
Something they've been advertising on Fox and on even on WHIO is these Byrna, BYRNA weapons made in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they're legal in all 50 states. Virtually anybody over 18 can have one. And people standing near the front doors of some of these businesses, you know, being heavily stolen from, in particularly California and that, could use them. And all it does is disable people. So the cops got time to get there.
Maybe so, but I think many would argue, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but I think many would argue that an innocent bystander using a weapon like that to try to stop somebody from stealing something is probably a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah.
I think people would argue that. I guess if you're the business owner and somebody's trying to steal something, you certainly have a right to defend your person and your property. But
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Have three or four people near the front doors in attendance. They pull them out. They're not going to kill anybody. All they do is disable them until the police get there.
So they're like bouncers.
Right.
Like Dollar General should have bouncers.
There you go.
I like that idea.
Good show.
Thanks, Warren. I appreciate it. Real quickly, Chris and Dayton. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
So you said that Dayton doesn't even rank in the per capita.
On this list, this is from Wallet Hub. This isn't from me. I didn't make this list up, Chris. This is from Wallet Hub, and they came up with the hardest working cities in America. And I'm not going to go through all the factors that they use, but they used all these different factors. And that Toledo's number 112, Cleveland is 109, Cincinnati is 89, and Columbus is 68, and Dayton is sadly missing from the list.
And that's per capita?
I'm just telling you what's on the list.
Yeah, okay.
this was some study.
Even taking into account the Wright-Patterson is the largest civilian employer in the entire state, and even with GM going out, but Fu Yao is in, and then all the tool and die. So if that's true, why is it that everybody moves to Dayton for jobs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one thing they looked at, or a couple of the things, and I'll just mention them since you brought it back up, and I appreciate that. They looked at metrics including average work week hours, employment rate, and the share of households with no adults working. Those are the three big ones, and then there were some others which talked about commute time and share of workers with multiple jobs and volunteer hours per resident. So I don't know. Maybe it's the work hours. I have no idea. Employment rate. I thought maybe we just have a lot of retired people, and that somehow brought the numbers down. I don't know. But
I always thought retired people went to Sarasota, but I could be wrong, too.
Some do. I appreciate it. All right, Chris.
All right, thanks, Dad.
Yep, have a good one. That line's open, 937-457-1290. I almost forgot. We have tickets to give away for Stray Cats. And I promise we'll do it before 7.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back to the show.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
If you'd like to go see the Stray Cats, they're going to be at the Rose Music Center August 12th. Just be the fifth caller right now at 937-457-1290, and you will score those tickets. And as I mentioned last night, no actual stray cats were injured or hurt or harmed in any manner in the making of that contest sounder. It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. We got mail. Hang on for a second. There we go.
Sit back down and shut your trap.
We got mail.
It's time for mail call.
Message for you, son.
You should see a fan mail.
You got a message.
I got you, lad.
Amazing what you can accomplish by mail.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
If you'd like to send me an email, it's eveningedgetodd@gmail.com. A lot of folks who like the show aren't able to call for a variety of reasons. Maybe they're working, or they're with their family, or they get stage fright, whatever the case might be. But this is a great way for people to participate in the show. And that's what Brittany did here from Tip City. It says, "Hey, Todd, I know you're against using food as a weapon." Yeah, you just should not use food as a weapon. It's much too valuable. Did you see what happened during an NBA game last week? Someone in the crowd threw a chicken wing onto the court, and they had to stop the game. Chomp, 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 chomp. Seems like a waste of a good chicken wing. Well, exactly. This is my point. Love your show, Brittany in Tip City. So, apparently this happened Thursday night. It was, and I don't really follow the NBA, so you're going to have to bear with me. The Kings, they lost to the Orleans Pelicans at Golden One Center. With 46 seconds remaining in regulation, a fan threw a chicken wing onto the court. And they had to stop the game. An arena worker ran out to collect the errant food item. So somebody winged a chicken wing onto the court. That does seem like a waste of a good chicken wing. They must have been very unhappy with their team's performance. Should be noted that throwing a chicken wing or any object onto the court is a big no-no. You shouldn't do it no matter how frustrated you are. Well, there you go. Flying chicken wings. As a weapon.
Now? What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up. Punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown. Seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Don't hesitate to call.
You call me.
You better call me.
Damn it, get me a phone.
Call me on my radio.
I'm gonna call you.
You got him on the radio?
You won't make a simple phone call?
What is wrong with you?
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Watch on the live stream. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Coming up, we got some science news. Maybe some Tasty Tuesday news. And we've got a break in the law story that's kind of amusing, I guess. Let's just get to it here, okay?
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Cops in Missouri are looking for a guy they say stole 8 luxury vibrators from an adult bookstore. The guy walks into a Hustler Hollywood store in Berkeley, Missouri, which is just outside of St. Louis. I've never been to Berkeley. But the 34-year-old man was charged with a felony. They say he came into the store. First of all, he was there early in the morning. You got to start your day off with porn. I guess. But this guy, he got kicked out. They said, "Don't come back, you." He didn't listen. He came back later in the day. And employees say they watched him as he stole 8 $200 luxury vibrators from a display, placed them into a trash bag, and then took off. The intent, according to police, was that he was going to fence these on Marketplace. I've said it before when it comes up on the show, because we've had stories like this before. You never buy used merchandise like that. You just don't. You spring for something new. Even if they say it's in the box. No, 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 no. You can't trust them. Workers say the man also had the number 314 prominently tattooed on his neck, which made him an easy person to track. That's their area code, of course. So there you go. There's a great break in the law story from St. Louis. Kevin in Piqua. Hey, Kevin.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. What's going on with you today?
Oh, I'm just doing a little, I'm working on my honey-do list.
What's on your honey-do list? I'd be curious to know. How many items? 10, 20?
I have to clean out the dishwasher.
Oh, I do. I do the dishes. My wife refuses to do the dishes.
And I got, I had a little bitty stump in the front yard that's been there for like 2 years. My wife's tired of mowing around it. She likes to mow the lawn, so that's good for me.
Oh, so that's kind of the trade-off. You do the dishes and she mows.
I'll get rid of the stump, and then she's happy mowing. So,
wow. Okay. Does she get on you if you don't do the dishes right away?
Oh, no, it's not doing the dishes. I'm just unloading the dishwasher.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So everything's fine.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad, Kevin. Sounds like paradise. So what's going on? What's going on?
So I was calling about the hardest working cities.
Yeah, we had this list from Wallet Hub, and 116 hardest working cities in America. Cleveland's on it. Columbus is on it. Cincinnati's on it. Toledo is on it. Ohio, nowhere to be found.
Well, I was calling about Anchorage.
Oh, they are number five on the list, yes.
I think, yeah, they were pretty high on the list. And I went up there, I think it was 2 years ago. It was before COVID, just before COVID.
Okay.
And I went to the Alaska Airmen Show. So these are people that fly.
Right, right.
And one of the things that I was just amazed about, and it might come in with Cheyenne, too, because Cheyenne was on your list as well.
Yeah, they were in the top five.
There are people up there, it's hard for me to describe. They fly for a living, but they don't fly. They're not pilots for their living. In other words, they're not flying people around or whatever. The airplane is essentially like their car would be down here.
Right, because a lot of those places, especially in Alaska, now it says Anchorage. I've never been to Alaska, but I've seen enough of those Alaska reality shows. There's a lot of people that live out in the middle of nowhere, right? And a plane is the quickest way and the fastest and probably the safest to get from one point to the other.
I met people that were electricians,
mm-hmm.
that were plumbers, that were carpenters. I even met a lady that was a hairdresser, and she flies to these indigenous villages, whatever, like once a month.
Right.
Does the lady's hair.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So
that's a good gig, yeah.
So if one of the things that I think they had as their thing was like lengths of commuting and getting to work.
Right, yeah.
Think about it. You got to drag your plane out. Do the pre-flight, fly for maybe, I don't know, an hour or two or something like that to go up and fix a guy's toilet.
Yeah, and then you have to pay for the fuel for that. So I would imagine that the rates they get are probably astronomical.
Oh, I'm sure. I didn't ask those kind of questions.
I mean, I guess if you're the lady who's cutting people's hair, you know, it's some sort of far-off region, you know, in parts of Alaska, whatever, and you fly up there and maybe you're going to give 20 haircuts or whatever that day and they're all going to pay you a certain amount of money, it might really be worth your while. You know, you could pay for the fuel to get up there and back and you're still going to make some cash.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, everyone in the village or whatever knows that this lady is going to be here the third Sunday of the month or whatever.
Right, no, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. All right, Kevin, I appreciate your call, buddy. Thanks for listening up there in Piqua. Have a good one. That line's open, 937-457-1290. Today's Tuesday, which means it's Tasty Tuesday.
don't you go inside and get yourself a tasty snack?
Want a bite? They're real tasty.
How you get so big that you food of this kind?
It was tasty.
Delicious and tasty.
When you're hungry, everything looks tasty.
That was, tasty little hors d'oeuvre.
You know, I love talking about food because it's one of the things that we can all sort of agree on. You may not agree on politics, you may not agree on religion or sports teams. Some people may be into the metric system, others are into the English version. But we all love a good meal, right? Of course we do. And that's why I like talking about food here on the show. The people up in Greenville, by the way, I think some of them are having a very good day today because it was announced. This is great. We have to get the drum roll up for this. Penn Station East Coast Subs is opening up in Greenville. No, nobody cares. I saw that story today on WHIO.com and I was like, wow, not much going on in Greenville. They're having a Bigfoot festival this fall. They should be talking about that. But no, I would imagine people up in the Greenville area are excited about the Penn Station. I enjoy Penn Station. I like the sub that the Brussels sprouts, or not Brussels sprouts. What am I thinking of? Not avocado. Oh, I forget what it's what's it called? It's a really spiky vegetable. Looks like almost somebody on the live stream. Help me out. Anyone? Maybe. Artichokes. That's it. Thank you, Heather. Artichokes. I love the sub that comes with the artichokes. Really, really good. So, and they've got good fries. So congratulations to the folks in Greenville. Your lives are changing. Penn Station is here. Diehard Mountain Dew Baja Blast fans, are there a lot of those? I guess, have something new to celebrate because the iconic drink is now available in chip form thanks to the folks at Doritos. For the first time ever, Doritos is rolling out a Baja-inspired chip flavored dubbed Doritos Baja Fiery Mango. The limited time flavor is spice-packed with a tangy taste, giving loyal Dorito fans an unexpected flavor experience. The new flavor comes at the Baja Blast celebrates 20th anniversary. I think you can get those like at Taco Bell. Isn't that like a big thing at Taco Bell, the Baja Blast? You can buy Doritos Baja Fiery Mango at grocery stores beginning April 28th for a limited time. Also, Reese's Candies. They're getting into the Olympic spirit. You know, there's an Olympics this summer. If you hadn't noticed or hadn't heard, it's happening in Paris. Very exciting. They are introducing a new version of their little peanut butter cups. You know, at Christmas time, they do the little Christmas trees. And then at Easter, they do the Easter eggs. And then the 4th of July, they do firecrack. No, I don't think they do that. But this summer, they're making Hershey's Kisses, or not Hershey's Kisses, Reese's Cups that look like gold medals. Isn't that exciting? But in chocolate. And they're going to come in a variety of sizes. You can get them in the standard and the king size packages nationwide. And all you 420 fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. Jimmy John's is celebrating 420 this year with the introduction of the new Deliciously Dope Dime Bag. Priced at $10 and available for online order only, the Deliciously Dope Dime Bag is a curated combo meal featuring a hand-sliced smoked ham and provolone cheese sandwich topped with jalapeno ranch, extra oregano basil, sliced pickles, crispy jalapenos, and fresh sliced tomato and lettuce, alongside a spear of your favorite Jimmy John's pickle, a fudge chocolate brownie, and a serving of Jimmy's chips. That is for Saturday, 420 day. Plus, select fans across the country will be surprised with additional merchandise, including your very own Jimmy John's branded rolling tray. So, of course, the rolling tray to catch crumbs from your lunch. But that's happening on Saturday, 4:20. Larry in Franklin. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Todd. I was wanting to, you was talking about these restaurants going to these towns.
Yes, Penn Station.
I remember back in the 60s, if your town finally got a McDonald's, you was really doing something.
It's so funny you mentioned that, Larry, because when I saw that story today on WHIO.com, I was immediately transported back to when the McDonald's in Beaver Creek at the corner of, I think, Village Green and Dayton Xenia, it's still there. I remember when it opened up, and it was like the biggest deal ever. It's like, we got our own McDonald's. Oh, my gosh, we're a real city.
Yeah, you become a city.
That's
you?
Right. That's right. We finally had some street cred, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. I can never forget that.
Yeah,
I just thought I'd mention it to you.
I appreciate it, Larry. Thank you. Have a good night. That line's open. Yeah, that was a huge deal, man. When we got the McDonald's, that was almost as big. It was almost as big as when we got Burger Chef.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
You ain't gonna want to miss this.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Well, there's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the live stream. Don't forget, you can get the podcast at eveningedgetodd.com or all your other favorite podcast platforms. And shoot me an email. Can't call the show? Still want to hear from you. At eveningedgetodd@gmail.com or follow me on social media, Facebook and Instagram at eveningedgetodd. Have a terrific Tuesday night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow just after 5.
And that's how she wrote.
I got nothing left.
Why don't you just call it a night?
I'm saying it's over. Superstar.
That's it, guys. We're all fried.
You guys have a good night.
Unplug everything. Wrap it up. Let's go home.
Adios, amigo.